So I was surprised when last week, among the headlines on BBC News, was about this research that has just come out. And as the headline says, evolution, this is not Christianity, this is not religion, this is just plain natural evolution, does not favor selfish people. It's hard to believe that people do research about this stuff, but the news said selfish traits were not favored by evolution. Now, just a little while back, there was another research that suggested the opposite. And to study this among human beings, what they did was they went to prisoners, two of them, and they said to the prisoners that if they informed about the other person, they were separated in a room, and if they informed about the other person, that they could go free. But if they did not inform on each other, then they would get if they informed on each other, they could get go free, and the other person would get 6 months. But if they did not, if they kept silent, both of them would get 3 months each in prison. In the previous research, the prisoners informed on each other because they wanted to go free and put the other person in prison for 6 months. But then they realized there's something very important missing from this research. And what was missing is communication. See, these two prisoners never got to talk to each other. So they decided that they would do it otherwise, that they would let them talk. And when they talked, they cooperated with each other. They did not put themselves first. They did not inform on each other. But rather, both of them decided not to inform and take the 3 months in prison for both of them. And researchers are telling us this is what human beings do, but this is replicated in the rest of nature. And here's the reason why researchers are saying that nature and evolution and people do it. He said, because without cooperation, we are destined for extinction. It's in us. It's built into nature that we cooperate so that natural life and human life can continue. Interesting, huh? Jesus' words in today's gospel takes on a completely new meaning in light of this research. Jesus tells us that greed, selfishness, putting ourselves first, will destroy us. And research has just proven it. Greed will destroy us. But he's not just giving us a natural reason, he's giving us another reason why we need to think that selfishness is not good or greed is not good. And his whole point is eternity. Greed and selfishness will destroy us not only in this life, but it'll also destroy us in the context of eternity. So that he says, take care. He's talking with love. Please take care to guard against all greed. And as if the words of Jesus are not enough, you have Paul telling us in today's second reading, put to death then the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. I'll come to that in a little bit. I looked up the definition of greed in the dictionary. In the Webster dictionary, it defines greed as excessive desire for wealth, possessions, etc. excessive desire. Now, generally, we associate greed with material things, isn't it? But if you take Paul seriously, Paul is saying that excessive desire in any area. So it could be immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, material things. When there is an excessive desire in any of these areas, Paul says, watch out. So let me reflect on three things with you based on these readings. I want to begin with the first reading, though. It's one of those famous sayings, isn't it, from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. For what profit comes to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? Really speaking, this is so true. Especially when I went back home last time, you know that my dad is struggling with his health. And dad wants to make sure that everything is in place if anything happens to him. But at the end of it all, he realizes that, you know what? In the end, only one thing matters. That you can stand in the presence of God with your head held high. Right? Everything else, we don't take it with us. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. See, when Pope Francis got elected, it was good to see the way in which he interacted with the people. So when he came out to greet the people, I don't know how many popes have ever done this before, but he bowed his head and he asked the people to bless him. And then when he took office, he decided that he was not going to stay in the more palatial papal quarters, but he decided to stay in more humbler places. In one sense, the opposite of vanity is humility. To know that I am not all of it, that I'm somehow connected and I must surrender to the powers or the forces that are around me. And then after he took office, media told us that even as a cardinal, that he would not take his limousine that he had the privilege of using to go to work. No, he decided to use public transport. And recently, in his visit to Brazil, he decided that he wanted to visit the slum and say mass in this very trashy, dirty, poor, filthy neighborhood. He made a choice. And he's asking now priests and bishops to live simpler lives. That makes me very guilty about the new car that I bought. But he's asking us to really, really simplify our lives. And so that's the other opposite of vanity. Simplicity. Humility and simplicity. They are good things. And I think the Pope is giving an example, not just because he's following the example of Jesus, but also I think this is countercultural. In a time when we are constantly invited to pamper ourselves and put ourselves first, both the gospel and evolution are telling us that greed will destroy us. So watch out for vanity. Now, secondly, it's very interesting that Paul calls greed idolatry. I had never thought about that. Greed is idolatry. And I think the parable in the gospel reading really explains that. The parable of this man who had a rich harvest and he puts it all in this barn and then he says, well, good for you. Forget about the rest. Good for you. Let me explain the context of this parable, this story. See, Deuteronomy 26, 1 to 3 stipulates that the first fruits of the harvest were to be offered in the temple. First fruits, everything, the best, gets offered to God. So the greedy man in the gospel, after a good harvest, that's not what he does. He takes all the stuff and he puts it in the barn, but he has forgotten God. He has forgotten to offer the first fruits. Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry. This is why Paul calls greed idolatry, because then we put ourselves before God. When my niece got her first paycheck just last year, I said, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to offer half of that salary to God and the rest of the half to the poor. Your first fruits must go to God. Then Deuteronomy 26:11 also says that after having offered the first fruits of the temple, the farmer was to celebrate with all his family and aliens, foreigners in the land, people he doesn't even know. That's not what the rich man does either. He has forgotten God and he has forgotten people. He's forgotten both these things. He put himself first. And what does Jesus say? You fool. You fool. You will be destroyed. As I said, evolution is telling us, God is telling us that greed is destructive for us. So Paul's warning, I think, is truly, truly significant. So what shall we do? I thought the best way to answer or conclude our reflection would be to ask the question, what is the opposite of greed? And honestly, there isn't one word that captures the opposite of greed. I think it's a combination of three words, three concepts that describes the opposite of greed. And I think those three terms are detachment. So yes, I like my things. I like my car. I like my puppy. I like my parents. I like myself sometimes. But God says, don't get attached to any of these things. Detachment, contentment, being content with what we have. And thirdly, generosity, the ability to look beyond ourselves. So these three things, detachment, contentment, generosity. Put these three words together, you get the opposite of greed. In the second half of today's second reading, Paul gives us some way, some clue in which to focus on the opposite of greed. Here is what Paul says. If you were raised with Christ, seek what is above. Do not lose perspective of eternity. We are not like anybody else. We belong to Christ. And if we belong to Christ, we have died with Christ. In that sense, seek what is above, not what is on earth. So I think the best way for us to guard against greed is to keep eternity constantly in our minds. And the second way to make sure, or the second way to check our greed is to make sure that our desire does not take priority over doing what is good. If it's between doing good and between my own desire, then the best thing is to do good. Seek what is above. Put to death those things that are not from God. Immorality, evil desire, impurity, greed, materialism, consumerism. Do good instead. So I think these are very, 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 very practical readings for us today, and particularly in our society in which we are invited to pamper ourselves and just focus on our needs. God is saying, watch out, because if you go in the way you're going, you will be destroyed. Self-destructive. The bread and wine is going to be put on this altar very soon. And why? Why? Because God is generous. God is good. God is loving, because God is not selfish. So isn't it a fabulous gesture that we take bread, that Jesus takes bread and he gives it and he says, it's not just something that I'm giving you, this is my body. I care so much, I am so generous, I'm not selfless here, I'm giving you myself. So as we participate in this very generous act of God, please let us be in the same way. Let's put to death what is of earth, and let's focus on what is above. People of God said.